It's my joy and honor to be with you today, and it's hard to believe that this is the last Sunday of October. I have known Craig, Pastor Craig, for almost 40 years. I first met Craig back in 1982 BC. That's before cell phone and before computer. I met Craig. And then I got the privilege of knowing Michelle. You know, when God gave you, Craig and Michelle, God gave you a tremendous gift. You know, you can always find out how people appreciate you by the gifts they give. Is that not true? It's true. When God gave you Craig and Michelle, He gave you an amazing gift. And I've been traveling a little while now. I've been traveling 41 years. I've clocked in just over 10 million actual air miles. I'll be the most traveled guy you will have this entire decade in this church. True. And 132 countries. But let me tell you something. You'll never find a better pastor than the one that God gave you right here at Crossroads Church. Amen? It's true. God gave you a tremendous gift. And I know that they've gotten away to get a little rest. You know, one of the greatest spiritual things you ever do is rest. Did you know that? If you don't believe that's true, go back and read just Genesis 1 and 2. Even God rested. One of the greatest spiritual things that you'll ever do is find time to rest and allow God to renew your spiritual life. I want to highlight a few things as it relates to missions, and then I want to teach what the Lord has laid upon my heart. If we can jump to the next slide, that would be great.
I'm Craig White,
lead pastor. And go ahead and throw the next slide up. Be great. Okay. When I was privileged to be here 2 years ago, it's been hard to believe it's been 2 years ago, we received an offering specifically for this area of the world that Pastor Craig mentioned in passing, in Nepal. On the right side of Nepal is China. On the left side of Nepal is India. There's 1.3 billion people in India. There's 1.4 billion people in China. So if you were really going to try to strategically build a bridge between those two 1 billions, you'd have to do it in the nation of Nepal. And so the gospel came to Nepal 60 years ago this month. 60 years ago, the gospel came to Nepal. At that time, there's about 500 or so known Christians. Today, there's 1.4 million Christians in Nepal. God is blessing His church in Nepal. There's over 30 million people that live in Nepal, but God is growing His church. And when we were together, we received an offering for this hub. I want you to see, throw the next slide up. And so we launched this hub. Now, there are 7 hubs there now in Nepal, but when we launched it, there was 1. And a hub does 3 things. Synergizes best relationships, systematizes best training, strategizes for unreached people groups. And so in the Global Church Network today, there are 94 hubs. By 2022, there'll be 200 hubs. By 2030, there will be 850 hubs in the Global Church Network. And the hubs are all connected with one purpose in mind, to tell the rest of the world who Jesus is. It's not where we huddle. It's where we learn so that we might lead and love lost humanity to the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. And you helped us to do that. Go to the next slide, if you would. But as Pastor Craig mentioned, across the Himalayas, there's over 20,000 villages that do not have a church in them. Now, the Himalaya Mountains are 1,500 miles wide. They start from the southern part of China, make their way up through Nepal, Tibet, cross the top of northern India, all the way to Pakistan, and a little bit into Afghanistan. That's how wide the Himalaya Mountains are. If I was to ask today for a show of hands of how many of us believe that every village ought to have a church, every hand would go up. But do we believe that at the 25,000 foot level? You see, the reason why they've not heard the gospel in that area of the world is because it's hard. These men and women, 57 million people across the Himalayas, live in the highest elevations of the world. I've heard stories about the underground church. Now I want to hear stories about the upper ground church, the highest elevations in the world. Go to the next slide, if you would. Now I appreciate the rolling hills of Indiana, but these are just a little taller than the rolling hills of Indiana. These are more than twice as tall as the highest mountains in North America. Go to the next slide, if you would. And during the wintertime in the lower elevations, when I say lower, it's relative, you know, because we're talking the highest point is 29,000 feet. But in the lower elevations, where snow does melt in the summertime, here's a picture of one of the villages. And the average wage there is about $50 a month. In Kathmandu, the capital in Nepal, the average wage is $118 a month. But in the country, in the mountains, it's less than half of that. Now, you and I know $50 does not go very far. Go to the next slide, if you would. We launched an initiative that this church has participated in. It's called Give Me This Mountain Summit. And that's a picture of Mount Everest out of an airplane that I was on one morning, or a small plane flying across the Himalayas. I wanted to pray over them, asking God to put a church in every village. You know, it's okay to pray big prayers, because I think when we pray big prayers, God says to the angels, come over here and listen to this one. We don't hear that every day. We need to pray the kind of prayers that only God can answer. Amen? And go to the next slide, if you would. So we had the summit. And it took place 2 years ago. It's been over 2 years since I've been here. 2 years ago this past spring. Go to the next slide. And we asked for a group of men and women to come, and God blessed. And this gentleman in the green shirt came. He had to hike through the Himalaya Mountains 15 days to get to a bus to get him into Kathmandu. And when the summit was over, he took the bus back to the last stop, and he had to hike 15 more days to get back to where he lives. 30 days round trip hiking through the Himalaya Mountains, and we complain if it rains on Sunday. All right, I want you to see where he came from. Go to the next slide, if you would. That little yellow circle is Dalpo. That's where he lives. That's where he pastors, a small church in the Himalaya Mountains. He had to make his way all the way down to the right there, the Kathmandu, and then afterwards he had to make his way back. You know, in 100 years ago, we didn't have to ask ourselves as a church who is already there, but today, before we go, we need to ask ourselves the question, does God already have somebody there? And if so, we don't go to compete with them, we go to complete with them. We go to finish with them. You know, I hear sometimes people say, well, I'm concerned about watering down my brand. Well, you know, there's only one brand, and his name is Jesus. You understand that, right? There's not multiple brands. Jesus is the brand, and we must never forget it. And so we had the summit. Go to the next slide and throw it up, if you would. And over 1,500 leaders showed up from those four major nations in that area to help us launch the initiative. Today, we have church planters at the 21,000, 22,000 foot level. And at that level, there's snow on the ground 365 days a year. I don't mind a little bit of snow, but 365 days might bother me a little bit. And then we moved on from there. Go to the next slide, if you would, because you helped us in Nepal, as Pastor Craig has said, in the Himalayas. But now we're over into northern part of India. And we launched the initiative there last fall in the northern part of India. Go to the next slide. And over 600 church planters showed up in the northern part of India, Delhi and north, all the way up to China, and also to the left of Pakistan is that strip of the Himalayas. And it's not as high as the elevation of Nepal, but the mountains are still quite substantial. And so following my teaching today, we're Brother Joshua is going to receive an offering. Go to the next slide if you would. And we're focused on the Himalayas, those online, those who are here on ground, on site. Every $20 is going to help us to equip an Indian pastor, particularly the Himalaya mountain range. And we're sowing strategically there. Just 2.5 weeks ago, I was in a Zoom meeting of about 1,700 Indian pastors in the northern part of India, primarily focused on this area of the world. And so, you know, the Bible talks about us sowing generously, and the Lord pours out generously into our life. We reap according to how we sow. And so following our teaching today, I want to encourage you to help us in northern India as we then march over into Pakistan. We launched our hub in Pakistan last month, and they began meeting in the month of January for the next 2 years. And so now we're already moving into Pakistan. What we started 2 years ago, and Pastor Greg was right there in the middle of it, we are now moving through India into Pakistan. Somebody said amen. We have a lot of work to do. It's going to take many, many years for this initiative to become a reality. But we believe in order to finish the Great Commission, we've got to go to the hardest places in the world. And if we're not willing to go to the hardest places, we're never going to finish the assignment. In a moment, I'm going to read out of the little small book of Jude, over in Jude, verses 14 and 15. And we're going to be right in sync with Pastor Craig's series on the end times. Would you stand with me in honor of God's word today? In Jude's gospel, Jude is just a small book right before the book of Revelation. And Jude is one of my favorite books, not just because it's short, but because he summarizes it all so well. Now, in the time in which we live, we have heard a lot of people say, I can't wait to get back to normal. I want to be really clear today, we're not going back there. The worst place to be is where God was. We're not going back to where God was. We're going forward to where God is. And our normal is not found in circumstances. Our normal is found in Christ and Him alone. I am a normal Christian. Some Christians have lived the abnormal life so long they think that's normal. We are to live the normal Christian life. Christ is front and center in our life. Somebody said amen. And it's not that Christ is pushing us from behind to get us to move forward. He's pulling us from the front to get us to where He is. Ladies and gentlemen, we're moving forward. We're living in the closing moments of an age. The pandemic has just sped things up. We're living in the greatest times in the history of all the world. I'm here to tell you, God is doing more today than He's ever done, even in the time of this virus and pandemic. And somebody said amen. I want to read two verses. We can throw those on the screen. It'd be great. And then from this point on, I won't mention the next slide. Jude is writing, and he says, and it was also about these men that Enoch in the seventh generation from Adam prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord will come with many thousands of His holy ones to execute judgment upon all and to convict all of their ungodly deeds, which they have done in an ungodly way, of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for this beautiful day that You've given. Thank You, Lord, for allowing us to live long enough to see the sunrise today. Thank You, Lord, for this incredible moment in time. I pray, Lord, for the next little while, everything that You've laid upon my heart, I pray that You will deposit it into every person's heart listening, both online and here inside the sanctuary. And Lord, I pray that everything that is said and done will bring glory and honor to You, and we'll be careful to give You the praise for it in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. When you leave after a while, there in the foyer, you'll find a book, and I'll be back there as well. I do a lot of writing when I'm traveling, and especially the long flights. And a few years ago, I did a book entitled The Signpost on the Road to Armageddon. I've had some friends say that probably the best book I've ever done. I don't know that that's the case. I hope the next one I write will be better than the one before. But I spent a lot of time thinking about how do we walk through the end of an age and get ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. And I want to recommend it to you. You'll find it there in the foyer. It's one for 15 or two for 25. The greatest investment we ever make is in ourselves, helping us to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. The second greatest investment is when we invest in somebody else and help them to come to know Christ or help them to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I'm teaching today out of chapter 7 in this book on the signpost on the road to Armageddon. And for a little while, I want to teach on learning how to live in the end of an age. I really do believe that we are living during the end of an age. And the darker it gets in this world, the better I like it, because I know Jesus is coming soon. Some time ago, a man was sleeping in a chalet in the Swiss Alps. And early one morning, he awakened, he was startled because he heard this terrible cracking noise and the ground was shaking. He ran to the front office and he said to the lady there, "What was that terrible noise I heard? It sounded like the end of the world." And the lady said, "Oh, sir, that's not the sound of the end of the world. When the sun comes up in the east and the sun's rays hits this cold, frozen, hard ice on the mountains, it causes the ice to expand. And as a result of it, you hear the shaking and the noise." And she said, "That's not the sound of the end of the world. It's just the sound of the beginning of a new day." And I want you to know, Jesus Christ is coming soon. I realize a lot of people have said that for 2,000 years. That's right. Look how much closer we are than when they just said it 2,000 years ago. Soon and very soon, the King of Glory is going to come back. Enoch lived in an amazing time upon this earth. Enoch lived nearly 6,000 years ago. Enoch was the first person to ever prophesy that the Lord was coming with his holy saints. Enoch was a prophet. A lot of people don't recognize Enoch as a prophet, but he sure was. Enoch was the seventh generation from Adam. When Enoch was living, so was Adam. They lived contemporary for over 308 years together. When Enoch was alive on the earth, everybody either knew Adam or knew someone who knew Adam. Don't miss this now. Everybody on the earth at the time of Enoch either knew Adam or knew someone who knew Adam. You see, Enoch was the great, 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 great grandson of Adam himself. And you see, Enoch lived in an amazing time. He lived in a time of a bridge that would eventually usher in the flood. When Enoch lived, he lived in a prophetic time. He lived in a time that the world would be changed forever. You know, it's interesting that there were two kinds of people alive on the earth at that time frame. They were what were called the Sethites, and they were also called the Canaanites. Now, regarding the Canaanites who came from Cain, the Bible simply says, "And he died, and he died, and he died, and he died." When it comes to relates to the Sethites, all of those and those descendants, it says, "And he lived and he died, and he lived and he died, and he lived and he died." But when it comes to those who were the Canaanites, the ones who are only interested in the world, it simply says, "And he died and he died and he died." Aren't you glad that we live in this world, that we don't just die in this world? Aren't you glad for those who know Jesus Christ, we know how to live in a depraved world? And somebody said amen. It's true. We're not just dying. We're living and we die. Oh, the just shall live by faith. And my friend, that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about how to live in the closing moments of an age. Because I believe that God is shaking the earth. I believe that God is speaking throughout this world. And I believe, as I said in my opening comments, things are moving faster than they've ever moved before. Number one, we have surrounding gloom. Enoch knew what it was to have surrounding gloom. And we also know that. And Enoch lived in an age of permissiveness. He lived in an age of permissiveness. He lived in an age of lawlessness. He lived in a time of unrestraint. He lived in a time when people were led by their lust, not by the law. They were led by what satisfied them, not what satisfied God. He lived in an age of permissiveness. He lived in a time when people lived sinful and wicked lives. And you know, we're living in such a time. We're living in a time when people are more motivated by gold than they are God, by their jobs rather than Jesus, more about their cash than Christ, more about their silver than their Savior. They're more interested in this world. They have a Canaanite mentality. They're interested in the marketplace more than the master. And ladies and gentlemen, there is one place where Christ will not work, and that is in second place in our life. We're living in an age of permissiveness. We're living also in an age of presumptuousness. You know, people make so many presumptions today. They assume so much. So many people never slow down long enough to pause, ponder, and pray over the matter. They just think they've got it all figured out. They lived in a time when they were interested in the necessities and the niceties of life. The necessities of eating and drinking. This is found also in Matthew, describes this time period where Enoch and Noah, those generations will live. But not just eating and drinking, but also in marrying and giving and marrying, the niceties of life. And I am grateful to be able to say to you today that not only the Lord has provided us the necessities, but God has provided us niceties. We're not meeting outside today. Somebody said amen. We're worshiping in a beautiful auditorium today. But most of our brothers and sisters in Christ will never worship in a building like this one. They'll meet outside or under a tree or in a bus or in a small house or some rundown building. But God has bless Crossroads Church in Avon, Indiana. Amen. He has. But we're living in a time of presumptuousness. We're living also in a time of progressiveness. During this time of Enoch, the cities began to grow. Populations were exploding. Knowledge was beginning to increase. They were living in a time of progressiveness. Now, when we use the word progressive today, well, we've allowed people to take a positive word and pervert that word. Because when I use the word progressiveness today, many of you think about these people who maybe don't focus on Christ and don't practice the word of God, but they live a debauchery kind of life. And we call them today progressives. No, they are digressives, not progressives. Didn't get many amens there. Because you think I'm being political, but I'm not. We allow people to rob words. And we allow business to sometimes rob us of New Testament words. For example, today in the business world, we talk oftentimes about synergy. But did you know that's a New Testament word, synergeo? When Paul was writing to Timothy and he said working together, he will use the word synergeo, synergy, working together. The sum of the whole is greater than its individual parts. But because we as a church didn't use the word synergy, we allow the business world to rob it from us. I'm here to tell you, my friend, the greatest concepts in all the world are found right there in the Word of God. Oh, my friend, we're living in a time of surrounding gloom. We can see what's happening in China. And China will play a prophetic role in the end time. We look at what's going on in Iran or things taking place in the Middle East. I don't know about you, but I've been thankful to see some of the peace agreements being established in the Middle East. But I know, and you know, that there's not going to be real peace in the Middle East until the Prince of Peace is ruling in the Middle East. And one day the Prince of Peace is going to rule this world. One day the lion and the lamb will sit around together. Today you won't find the lambs hanging out with the lions. And sure, the lions sure dream about lambs. But one day the lion and the lamb will lay down together when the Prince of Peace is ruling this world. Sometimes people say, well, I think this world could end tomorrow. No, it's not going to end tomorrow. There's still a millennial reign of Christ. And the millennial reign of Christ is 1,000 years where Jesus Christ will rule and reign on this earth. I want you to know, just as soon as that sun will go down tonight, it's going to come up tomorrow. But one day Christ is going to rule and reign on this earth, and then the end will come and it will all be over. We're living a time of surrounding gloom, but we don't get our news, quote unquote, good news from the media. We get our good news from the Word of God and from Jesus Christ himself. When you begin your morning, don't begin your morning with the bad news. Start your morning with the good news. Don't begin your morning with your email. Begin your morning in a quiet time with the King of Glory. Get in step with him, and he'll help you to get in step with this world. We are living in a time of surrounding gloom. Secondly, we're living in a time of saving grace, of saving grace. You see, Enoch was a different kind of guy. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God. How long did Enoch walk with God? 365 years, and God took him. Enoch walked with God. What was his testimony? His testimony was he walked with God. Now, Enoch gave birth to a man named Methuselah. Methuselah was the guy who lived the longest on the earth. Do you know how long he lived? 969 years. Can you imagine that? Living almost 1,000 years. But he was the son of Enoch. God blessed Enoch with a son, and his son lived the longest on the earth. He lived longer than Adam. 969 years. The name Methuselah means when he is dead, it will be sent. Now, how would you like to have a name like that? What does your name mean? Well, when I'm dead, it'll be sent. Well, what does it mean? When he is dead, the flood will come. On the same year that Methuselah died, the flood came. God bless Enoch in a way that everybody knew this guy walked with God. And God loved him so much that he gave him a son. His name was Methuselah. And he lived up to the year that the flood would come. You see, Enoch knew what it was to know God. Do you know what it is to know the Lord? Do you know what it is to walk with the Lord and for him to walk with you? Do you walk and talk with the Lord? Do you spend time with the King of Glory? Have you ever loved the Lord more in your past than you do right now? If you can say, I've loved the Lord more in my past than I do right now, then you have slip-slided away that far. My friend, the Lord didn't call us to have him in second place. He wants us to be first place in our life every day. I came to Christ July 15, 1973, on a Sunday morning in Montgomery, Alabama. I was just 12 years old. I remember that morning like it just happened 30 minutes ago. The invitation was given. I responded to the invitation. I came to know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And I can testify today, from that day to this day, I have been a Christ follower. And I love him more today than I did when I was just 12 years young. I'm telling you the gospel truth today. I have an identical twin brother. I got saved Sunday morning. He got saved Sunday night. And we were just together just a few days ago, fellowshipping together. We, in a time like this one, need to be walking with God. Need to be walking with God. You know, Sodom and Gomorrah is coming on the scene. What is Enoch doing? He's walking with God. The cities are beginning to develop and to grow. This will become a time of Babel. And yet he is walking with God. There are storm clouds beginning to brew into the horizon, into the future. But what is Enoch doing? He's just walking with God. What do we need to be doing in the age of a China or the age of Iran or the age of a pandemic? We just need to get up every day and simply walk with God. Don't measure your success by the success of the world. Every day you get up and say, you know what? I'm just going to walk a little bit further with God. I imagine one day Enoch getting up and saying, you know what? I really want to learn how to walk with God. And you know what he did? He made a trip to Adam's house. I imagine him as he knocks on Adam's door, walks into Adam's small home and says, you know, I just want to spend some time with you, great, 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 great grandfather. And he said, well, why did you come to see me? Well, because I know there was a time that you really walked with God. I know there was a time that you walked with him in the cool of the day. Every evening as the sun was going down across the Garden of Eden, you would walk with the King of Glory. Can you tell me what it was like to walk with God without any negative in your life? Can you tell me what it was to walk with God without any sin in your life? Is there any advice, any godly wisdom that you can give to me that would help me to walk with God? Oh, I can hear Adam as he says, you know, not many people ask me about that. And I don't like to talk about it very much. But there was a season of my life, year after year after year, I knew what it was to walk with God himself. In the cool of the day as the sun was going down, just God and me would walk together. I did it for decades on end. I walked with God. Then Enoch said, but what happened? Well, I started listening to the wrong voice. I started listening to the wrong voice. I began to think that there was some way that I could circumvent what God's plan was for my life. And I took ownership of my life outside of God's will for my life. I listened to the wrong voice. And I did the wrong thing. And as a result of it, I fell. And I never had that walk with God that I had before. Enoch, whatever you do, don't let anyone rob you of your walk with God. Whatever you do, don't allow society to rob you of your walk with God. Because I can tell you, it's not worth the price to allow anyone to rob you of that intimate relationship with God Almighty. Oh, my friend, and I'm here to tell you there may be peer pressure, there may be social pressure, there may be financial pressure, there may be other things, but I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we need a generation to rise up and says, as for me and for my house, I will walk with God. Hallelujah. That we'll walk with God. And ladies and gentlemen, he knew what it was to have saving grace in the midst of surrounding gloom. And that's what's wonderful about the Christian life. We know what it is to have saving grace in surrounding gloom. Number three, we have a simple gospel. A simple gospel. I love it, the fact that we have a simple gospel, because even a child can understand it. I love it when children come up to me following a service and they've drawn a picture of what I was teaching and communicating. That lets me know that I was communicating in a way that even a child could understand it. We need to have a simple gospel. It begins with the force of our faith. Do you have force in your faith? It's so important because it says that he was pleasing to God. You know, I don't know a lot, but I do know this. If you don't please the Lord, it doesn't matter who you please. It just doesn't matter who you please if you don't please the Lord. And if you think that you're going to please everybody, you're going to be miserable. There's some people who manufacture their misery and they have a trademark to go with it. There's some people who are just going to be angry, upset about anything and everything, but we're just going to be pleasing to the Lord. I imagine people walking by Enoch's house and says, do you know that guy that lives in there? He said, yeah, I do. Well, can you tell me something about his life? Oh, he is pleasing to God. You know, the Bible says it takes faith to please to God. There was force in his faith. And my friend, when people come in contact with us, they ought to recognize that there's something different about us. They ought to recognize there's something different down deep inside of us. That we don't tick-tock like the rest of the world. That we don't just walk like the rest of the world. When people get angry at the little things, we choose to rise above them and serve Jesus Christ. Oh, the force. We got to have force in our faith. But I tell you what else. We got to have forthrightness in our faith. You know what he did? He announced that the king was coming. He announced that judgment was coming. You know what the enemy tries to do? The enemy tries to keep godly people silent in sinful times. I want you to know this is the greatest time to share Christ. I said this is the greatest time to share Christ. This is a time we need to let the gospel out. This is a time that people are searching. We ought to be providing God-given answers for the biggest questions of their life. Oh, it's a time of forthrightness. I don't mean obnoxiousness with bad breath to go with it. I mean time to share Christ. I believe when I'm sitting next to somebody on an airplane, I believe God arranged that for my life. I believe that when I'm in a long line waiting to go through something, I believe God put the one in front of me and the one behind me. I believe God orders my steps and my stops. I believe God puts people across my path at the right time. And I need to be ready to share the message of Jesus Christ. Oh, forthrightness of needs to be in our faith. But also, we need to understand the fundamentals of faith. We really do. If we're going to walk with God in an evil age, we got to understand the fundamentals. Listen to what Hebrews says. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6 says, it's impossible to please God without faith. And then he says, and we must believe that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He understood, Enoch understood the great impossibility that you can't please God without faith. You can't do it without faith. And our faith needs to grow and go, not dry and die. We need our faith to mature in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ throughout the seasons of our life. But he understood the grand imperative. And it says, and believe that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Do you believe that God is going to reward you for diligently seeking the King of glory? I want you to understand, God rewarded Enoch. There was a great departure, and he had a great son that would impact that world. God rewarded him for his faithfulness. And ladies and gentlemen, God will reward every one of us for our faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ. He will. He sees every prayer we pray. He sees every seed we sow. He sees every opportunity we seize for the Lord Jesus Christ. He keeps balanced books, and one day we will be rewarded. In the midst of this simple gospel, in the saving grace and surrounding gloom, I believe there's going to be sudden glory. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 5 that God took him. Literally, God took him. Every day, God and Enoch went on a walk. And one day, God said to Enoch, said, you know, we're a lot closer to my house and your house, so why don't you just come on home with me? And God took him. But in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, and he wasn't found. In other words, people came looking for him, and they couldn't find him. Can you imagine it? Can you imagine the neighbors going around, looking around? Enoch could not be found. Can you imagine? His children come looking for dad, and dad was gone. And ladies and gentlemen, one day they will come looking for us, and we will be gone. Can you imagine that day with me, if you can? Can you imagine if Jesus Christ came back today? There's close to 2 billion Christians in this world. Can you imagine what will happen when the church is taken out of this world? There'll be Christian airline pilots gone. Christian stewardess gone. Christian bankers and automotive workers, gone. Those who are in the middle of heart surgery, gone. Can you imagine it? One day, Christians will be taken out of this world. It could happen today. This is a could be the generation that meets God face to face. This could be the moment. Peter says, those who look to his coming purify their heart. We should get up today with the anticipation. This could be the day that Jesus comes. And if he doesn't come today, we should get up tomorrow morning. This could be the morning, the day, the afternoon, the night that Jesus comes. Because it purifies our heart. It sets our spiritual compass and helps us to get ready for the King of Glory. Enoch was taken and he was gone because he walked with God. And one day, as we're walking with God, the Lord is going to take us away. As I've traveled throughout the years, I have visited a lot of cemeteries. I could not tell you how many cemeteries I have visited. You say, well, James, that sounds very morbid. Well, I want you to know the latest stats on death are 1 out of 1. And so you might as well get used to it. I don't like to think about it. But one time I was in London, England, and I went out to a huge cemetery where Charles Haddon Spurgeon is buried, a great preacher in England 150 years ago. I've never met another Christian who's ever gone to his grave, but he's one of the greatest preachers that ever preached the gospel. And I was standing there in front of his grave, and I remember listening to the sound of a message that I had read by him many years earlier where he said, one day you will hear that Charles Haddon Spurgeon is now dead, but do not think one moment more. I will be more alive than I've ever been before. And I want you to know soon and very soon, the King of Glory is coming back. And in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye, we're going to leave this planet and forever we're going to be with Jesus Christ. Christ is coming very soon. And with that in context, we need to make sure that we are ready. Over 50 years ago, Alfred Hitchcock was a very popular movie producer, and he produced a film called The Coffin Maker, and it became a very popular film back in that day, and you can still see it's an old black and white film, but Alfred had a way of telling a story that would have a surprise. So he was telling about a lady that had committed many acts of violence, and as a result of it, she was put in an insane asylum to spend the rest of her life. And over a period of time, she became friends with the coffin maker. And he had only one role, and that was to, when someone died in the asylum, to build a casket, put the deceased in it, and then take the deceased out to the nearby cemetery. And so that was his role. And over time, she became good friends with the coffin maker. One day, it was announced that somebody had died, and so he would build a casket and take care of the deceased and take it out. And then they devised a very simple plan. He said, again, somebody in the future will die. I want you to find the casket, climb in next to the deceased, pull the lid down. I will come for you, take you out through the front door, put you in the hearse, take you out to the cemetery. I will let you go and you'll go home. It was a very simple plan. Months went by and somebody died in the asylum. She found the casket, jumped inside, pulled the lid down, told herself, don't be bothered by the deceased. Don't let that bother you at all. And she heard some muffled voices on the outside, and she smiled on the inside and said, it won't be long now. I'm going to get outside. I'll be home by nighttime. And she felt the casket lift and felt it being carried. She felt it, noticed it was going down the steps. She heard those big doors open and rattle. She heard the door of the hearse open as it squeaked, and it made its casket inside. She said to herself, it won't be much more time, and I will be home by nightfall. It was just a short drive from the insane asylum out to the cemetery, and she felt the car come to a stop. The engine was turned off. She heard that door squeak as it opened. They pulled that casket out. She said to herself, it won't be much longer now. I'm going to make my way home. I'll be home by tonight. She felt that casket as it made its way down into the earth and heard it make a thump on the ground. And as she was lying in that casket, she could hear clots of dirt as it were hitting that lid. And she said to herself, don't panic. Don't be afraid. If necessary, he'll dig me up. I'll be home tonight. And then moments went by. she could begin to feel the coolness of the earth as it's made its way into that casket. She said to herself, he better hurry up, he better hurry up, he better hurry up. While she was laying there in that casket, she reached down into her pocket and she pulled out a cigarette lighter and she flicked that lighter and she saw the face of the coffin maker. And she realized she'd gone to the grave with the wrong person. Let me tell you something. Whether you be online or whether you be in this auditorium, if you go to the grave without Jesus in your heart, when he comes back, you're not coming out. The next time you will come out for judgment. And what the Bible declares, the great white throne judgment. If there's any doubt in your heart today on whether or not you're ready for the coming of Jesus, you need to settle that this very moment. The Bible says, Enoch walked with God. The greatest testimony that you and I could ever have is for somebody to look at our life and say, that man, that woman, he, she walks with God. Would you please stand with me in this sacred gathering? So our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed in this service today. I count it a privilege to preach and teach where Pastor Craig preaches and teaches week after week after week after week. If you're not sure whether or not you're ready for the coming of Jesus, I plead with you, do not get in a cold car with a cold heart and drive off these hallowed grounds. Don't do it. We are living at the end of an age. We're living in a time when it's so imperative that every one of us walk with God. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed in this sacred gathering today, I will not embarrass any person in this gathering. And I'm also speaking to those who are online today. Are you ready for the coming of Jesus Christ? Are you ready for his coming? If you're not, settle it right now. Settle it this very moment. Don't put it off. Don't listen to the wrong voice. Don't do it. As your heads are bowed and your eyes closed, you say, James, I'm not ready for the coming of the Lord. I know I'm not, and I want to get ready. I want to get ready. I want Jesus to be on the throne of my heart. I want to know that I am ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed in this sacred gathering today, if that's you and you'd like me just to whisper a prayer for you today before we slip out of here, if that's you, can I see your hand, please, in this sacred gathering today? Just lift your hand high, then slip it right back down in this service. Just lift your hand high, then slip it right back down. And also those online, this is your opportunity today. Just lift your hand high, and I'll see it, and then we'll have prayer in just a moment. The second question I want to ask everyone with our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed is this. Do you desire for God to help you to really walk with him in this generation like never before? You want to walk with him like you have never walked with him before? If that's you, can I see your hand, please, in this sacred gathering? My hand is up. Hands be lifted all across this sacred gathering today. Dear Heavenly Father, you see the men and women who acknowledge their need of you, whether it be online or right here. Lord, I pray that they'll make peace with you this very moment in time. They'll settle all the eternal issues, that they will confess all known sin to you and make you Lord of their life. Lord, you're already Lord of this earth and universe, but Lord, we want you to be Lord of our life. And we pray right now that you would do that eternal work. And Lord, I pray that you will help us to walk with you closer than ever before, each and every day. Lord, in this time of challenge upon the earth, help us to walk with God. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you the praise and the glory for it. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, you may be seated in this auditorium today.